we also have been promised not just a new mind, a new spirit, but we've been promised a new body. That's the final part of the puzzle. 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 51 says, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. You know, a mystery is something that you can't understand. You can't work it out. It's a secret. How God is going to do it, I do not know. But his word says it's going to happen. And since his word says it's going to happen, then as night and day follows each other, then it's going to happen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. My parents are sleeping right now. They're in the Graceland Cemetery. But the Bible says we shall not all sleep. Somebody is going to be alive when this change comes, when we get this new body. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know, I'm getting to the point where I'm getting to be the oldest one in the building sometimes. Years ago, Yvonne and I, we won a competition because we were the youngest. She was the youngest mother. When we first went to that church, they did a competition, and, you know, who's the youngest mother in the church? And she won it, which means I won too, since we're one flesh. But it's getting to the point now where I realize sometimes I look around and I'm thinking, you know what? I might be the second oldest or sometimes the oldest in the building. But I know this, even though this outer man perishes, the Bible says we're renewed in the inner man. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'm waiting for my change. You know, I've been trying to work out, and I was really happy with myself this week because I finally was able to work out without it hurting. And it was, if it wasn't for time, when I looked at the clock, I felt like I could go another mile. I got my second breath, and I was so happy with myself. But even then, a little bit later on, when I was going up the stairs, I realized something. This body is wearing out. You can't put it back to, you know, 20, as much as we'd like. But there is one who can. It says, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So as part of the new creation, there's going to be a new body. I don't know what age you felt you were your best, your prime, when you look back and you say, man, that's when I was looking good. You know, maybe for some of you it's now. Going to say something, but I better stay away from that. But the Bible says that we are going to be changed. Amen. Whatever you were at your prime, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly what age we're going to come back at, but I believe that the Bible says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I know this is probably taking it a little bit too far, but Jesus was how old? About 33 and a half when he died. I was pretty good at 33 and a half. So if I'm going to be like him, I wouldn't mind that. Now, some of you that are probably younger than you say, a 30-year-old, no, that's a mister. You know, when you're a teenager and you talk to someone who's 30, they're old, they're ancient. But from where I'm looking at, 33 would be a pretty good age. I could live with that. I could deal with that. Amen. But the Bible says we shall be changed, a new creation. And just to refresh what we had talked about, that when you come to God, when you're regenerated, you become a three-part being again, a body, a soul, and a spirit. And your spirit is the part that is God-conscious. John 4:24 speaks about they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Because that's the only part that can actually interface with God is the Holy Spirit. And of course, our flesh is the part that we drag around. You know, the alarm came very early for me this morning. And you know when you're shocked out of sleep and you're trying to shut it off and it sounds so loud and you're hitting everything. I have another clock beside my bed and it plays waves and rain. And I hit it and the alarm was still going and now there's the sound of waves and rain coming and stuff. But I'm just thanking God that he woke me up. There's a lot of people went to bed last night that did not wake up. Amen. Genesis 2:7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." When man was created, as I've taught so many times, there was no expiration date. You ever went into the fridge and you were making some coffee, or you were thirsty and you grabbed the milk and you started chugging it? And then you realize, oh my goodness, what's the date on this thing? You know, I'm very scared. I'll use it up to the date that it says. Like last night we came home and I looked in the fridge and it said the 15th. But I've been tricked before. I've had some that was on the date and then it wasn't no good. So I said, you know what? I'm gonna pour this out into a separate cup and I'm gonna smell it. I'm gonna sip a little bit of it because I hate making a cup of coffee or tea twice. You know, but when man was created, there was no expiration date on the bottle. There was no expiration date on the bottle. God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and fulfill the earth. There was no expiration date on our bottle. Amen. God had created us to be his sons. And just like him, we were supposed to have dominion. There was no expiration date. We were created to be immortal. There is an immortal part of you that is supposed to live forever. We were created in his glory. We've taught all of that. We were created with his glory. We were created differently from any other being because we were also given a physical body. But it's not like the body we have today, which creaks and groans and aches and is subject to pain and decay. And in my case, eyesight problems I had. I've had 2 cataracts. I've had to have those removed. Not like that, but it was a glorious body. The kind of body that Satan actually wanted. Because we were the only being created in his image and in his likeness. We were created and given a soul, the eternal part. And then we were given the spirit covering that made us part of the body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, our focus verse says, "And the very God of peace, sanctify." What does sanctify mean? Put you apart, seal you. You know, when they want to make stuff, prove that stuff is fresh, they seal it. So when you pop the cap, you hear what? Psss. And you think, okay, nobody's opened this before. It's fresh. It's safe. It's been purified. I once had to do a job for Pepsi. And they own Gatorade. You may not know that, but Pepsi owns Gatorade. So they have a plant in Barrington, Illinois, where they do all their research for all of the drinks that Gatorade makes. So I was working on some programs that was going to operate this small bottling plant, which is their test plant. Before they make, you know, thousands of gallons of it, they have a little research lab where they can make 300 gallons at a time. So I was tasked with making the program that ran the all of the fluids and the pasteurization and the bottling, because they have to make sure that when it comes out, it's pure. So they have to heat the fluid up to almost boiling, but not quite boiling. If you go past boiling, it spoils the flavor. So you have to keep the temperature for so many minutes at just about a degree before it boils so that it kills all the germs. Do you understand? Sometimes God has to turn the temperature up on us so that it kills all the germs. But he doesn't want to kill us. It's to purify us. It's to purify us. And what they do when it comes out in the bottle, they make, you know, a big batch, and then they take one bottle, and you know what they do? They test it. They want to make sure that it's got nothing in it that's later on going to start to mold and decay. Because when they put that seal on it, they want it to be pure. You see, God is going to test you so that when he seals you, it's going to go psst. There's going to be no contamination. Amen. "For the very God of peace set you apart, seal you. Holy," that means all of you. "And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved." I've never been one to, you know, cook in that sense where you go and get the raw materials and you make your own jams, but maybe some of you have done that and you get those jars with the seal on it. And you have to do what to before you put it in there? You have to heat it up. Again, we see that that's how you purify things. Anybody been heated up? I got some heat this week. You've been through some heat this week. You know what God is doing? He's purifying you. He's making sure there's no contamination. The very God of peace set you apart, sanctify you, make you holy. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. Preserved. Blameless. Not sinless. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not. It's not that we're not guilty, but the price has been paid. When on the cross he said it was finished, it wasn't that we hadn't done the deed, but someone came and paid the price. Amen. Let's raise our hands, give God a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. Your whole spirit and soul be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I've shown this little model of what Adam was like. But of course, we all know he was disobedient. They were both disobedient. But of the fruit of the tree of which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, he shall not eat of it, neither shall he touch it, lest he die. That was what Eve said. And of course, we've all discussed how the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life figured in to the temptation. The Bible says she saw. And we gave the lesson on a Tuesday night about not looking at yourself so much, but you have to look unto Jesus. Let me follow Chris. He did a good thing.
Okay. Yeah, going back to purifying, when something is purified and when something is boiled or, you know, gold is purified, it brings out all the impurities. And I found this week with the testing that I went through, you know, it brings out some pretty ugly stuff that you don't even know is in there. And, you know, you can get frustrated, it just shows you where you are with God. And we don't like it, but we have to have those impurities brought out of ourselves. And I do thank God that I was frustrated this week and my patience was tried and many other things happened, because it helped me to see, you know, what really needs to come out. And, you know, testing is not pleasant.
Amen, amen. And we're in this flesh. And so this flesh, because it's not actually dead, when you kick it, it goes ow. It does go ow, it does react. And both of us were under quite a bit of pressure this week for different things. And I was trying to control my answers to her. She's trying to control her answers to me so that we don't answer each other sharply. But at times, you know, I was very curt and she was probably curt. See, confession is good for the soul. Amen. But you know what? Love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Amen. So mankind, the spirit covering died. But you know what? That still left a pretty good body. That body still lived for hundreds of years. So Satan said, okay, well, it's not immortal, but I can still use it. You know, if you give Satan anything, he will use it. That's why the Bible says we've got to give ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. Because whatever you give him, just like whatever we give God, God will use it. Whatever bit of you give Satan, he will also use it. So he still wanted to use these special bodies that still lived hundreds of years. And you know this story well in Genesis 10, starting from Genesis 5, man's wickedness just got so much that God said, it repenteth me that I have made man on the earth. And I'm not going to go into the whole story, but even after that, when they came out of the flood, we start off again with the 8 souls that came out, Noah and his 3 sons and their wives. And within a short period, mankind had gotten back again into the same stage. But this time, God said in Genesis 8, I know that his heart is wicked, evil, from a youth. God already knew, you know, there's no hope for mankind. I'm going to have to come and do something. God already knows our weaknesses. And we get up to Genesis 10 and 11, and of course they start to build the Tower of Babel, which Babel, it's speaking about language. And they were building this temple to worship the fallen beings. So God had to do something. He had to change the language. Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. We have a part of us that's not just a spiritual body of the soul, but there's flesh. And so God had to do something about that because Satan was using this body, this flesh, which he had dominion over. So God had to reduce the age of mankind. You see, the DNA, as I've taught, is a language. Psalms, I think 139, it says, in the book, my members were already written. See, that is the book of life. That's where all your genetic code is. And God had to not only change the spoken language, but he changed the DNA language because there's two words in Genesis used. It said he changed not just the, it's dabar is one of the words, which is the spoken language, but the other word speaks about the language of life. So we find that after the flood, men's ages started to decrease and decrease and decrease. Until finally, we go down to, I think, Psalms 90. It's down to 70 years and 10. And even so, the devil still uses whatever you'll give him. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy... See, when we come to God, we have, in our youth, we have more to give him. But, you know, God still wants you. Even if it's at the last minute, God still wants you. Because just like Satan, he wants to use whatever you will give him. And so God had to stamp an expiration date. The milk got an expiration date. And as I said many times, in fact, last night I went into the fridge and I looked at it. I now always check it because I hate drinking stale stuff. And I looked and it said November 15th. And I said, okay. It's like it knows, you know. The cow knows. So I poured out some and I sniffed it and I swirled it around and I took a little in my mouth, ready to spit it out. But it was okay. I'm still here. So the Bible tells us that God not only changed the spoken language, but he changed the DNA language and he gave man an expiration date. Romans 8:20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, decay. Not willingly. Not willingly. The Bible says, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Who wants to die? You'd have billionaires will spend millions and billions if they could add another 10 years. The whole creation did not want to be changed, to be subject to decay. But by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, he had to do it until the change comes. Psalms 8:5 explains it. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. You see, that verse did not apply to Adam and Eve when they were first created. They were not lower than the angels. They were higher than the angels. They were a son of God. Luke chapter 3, and I like saying this. I know I've quoted it so many. I love saying this. I love repeating the genealogy of Jesus Christ, going backwards. Because it starts from the Son of God, and it ends with the Son of God, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the Son of God. You know, if you can say that and change your genealogy and end up with being, I am a son of God. I am a child of the King. You see, Adam and Eve were created in the very image of God. No other creature was. But because of sin and because of what God had to do to get a new body, he had to let man die. Psalms 8:5, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Why was man made lower than the angels? To die. Adam could not die. While he was in the garden, while he had access to what? The tree of life. Isn't that what the scripture says? Genesis 3 says, now we're going to have to get him out of the garden, lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and do what? Live forever. So this verse here, the revelation is that this wasn't speaking about original creation. And there's the next verse explains that because it uses two different words for son. It uses, for man, it uses Adam, which is a son of God, and then it uses Enosh, which means mortal man. So we see that man was changed from son of God to mortal man and was made subject to death. Now, the revelation of this is given in Hebrews where Paul explains that this happened to Jesus. He takes this verse in Psalms, in the book of Hebrews, and he says, and he was made a little lower than the angels, and it gives us the reason, so that he too could suffer death. See, we're talking about a new creation. We need a new body, because this body is going to die. Did you know that? When you're young, you have no concept of that. I remember when I was about 18, which was, I don't know, I'm trying to figure it out. Must have been, well, maybe I was 19. So it was 1980, no, it's got to be more than that. 1975, okay. 1975, I remember gathering with about five of my friends, and we were just sitting around and we were talking about, because 1975, the year 2000 was like, wait, you remember that? When 2000 was like a strange number. And it was sounding like, you know, the Jetsons, 2000 sounded like far away. And I remember in 1975, some of you are smiling. Some of you identify with what I'm saying. The others are going, huh? Some of you are just going, huh? These old people. But we sat around in a group. And we were saying where we would be in 10 years. And that's 1985. And that seemed like far away. You know, I wasn't even close. I was married. I had two kids. I was in America. I had no idea. I had no understanding of the future. I had no clue. But we see here that God had a plan. He has a plan for the future. The one we always quote in Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory. As soon as man sinned, God realized this body was not going to do. Satan had too much control. Romans 7 explains it to us that the law of the flesh is not subject to the law of God. That's why I still hurt when people kick me. If I was truly dead, you could say all kinds of things about me, and I would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. How are you doing? Have a wonderful day. But this flesh doesn't work like that. It wants to hit you back. And as I told you, I thought for many years, that I had no temper, that I had really controlled it. And I don't know what's happened to me in the last few years, but the Lord showed me I have a bad one too. It's the quiet ones you have to be careful of. It's the quiet ones you have to be careful of. They're dangerous. Amen. Amen. You have to be careful. So just pray for me. Just pray for me. And we see, though, that God decided this body was not any good anymore. It could not be subject. Paul says in Romans, neither can it be subject to the law of God. That's why you should stop looking at yourself. Remember the lesson? Because if you look at your failures all the time, you're going to come into condemnation. And if you're not looking at your failures and you're still looking at yourself, then you're going to come into pride. You're going to start thinking, I'm so good. That song, you know, you think this song is about you. You're so vain. You know, I said that's the only two things. If you start looking at, we have to look unto Jesus. I tell you, when I start looking, and this is one of my worst problems, is that I look at myself and I can see all the things I don't like. And I really have to say, Lord, it's covered under the blood. Because this body is no good. It wants to do stuff that is not pleasing to God. And that's why we have to submit it under his hand. So this psalm referred to the first Adam, because it was the Son of God that was made lower so that he could suffer death. And the reason wasn't because God hated us, but it goes back to the very first verse, that there has to be a change. We have to have a new body, one that is directed by the Spirit, one that it is under the dominion of the Spirit. This body can't be. Philip.
What do you mean by a little lower? Do you mean as far as like heavens and stuff like that? Or do you mean just like humbling? Or
No, it means that we were immortal, and God then took us down so that we could, that this body could die. Do you understand? And I've told you this before, I used to fear death until it really, God opened my understanding that that's his plan. That's his plan. This body has to die, either in baptism, but it has to die. One way or the other, it has to die. It either has to die and we are crucified with Christ, or it's going to die without Christ. But this body has to die. That's the only way the soul is released. And it's the only way he could take this soul and put it in a new body. We're talking about a new creation this month. A new creation. This body has to die. So either you let it die willingly and associate it with Christ and his death and resurrection, or it's going to die by itself, because the one thing God does not want it to do is live forever. If God wanted that, all he had to do is let Adam and Eve stay in the garden. But then they would have always lived with this body where they don't have control. Paul says, what I want to do, when I see good and I want to do it, sometimes I don't. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? He calls it death, which it is. If you have a God-centered part in you, which is called your conscience, it's going to produce guilt. And that means you're going to make yourself some fig leaves, as we've been talking about, and go hide. That's why people don't come to church. Something happens in the week, and they go make some fig leaves, and they hide. In second service, I have something to show you about that. So now, the only person that scripture applied to was Adam, and the second person was Jesus. But in his case, it wasn't a forced thing, but Jesus made himself. The Bible said in Philippians, he emptied himself. Until he was ready, until he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. I don't think he could have died. They could have had him on that cross for a week or two. He said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. But he too, as the Son of God, he could not die. Do you know they tried to kill him before? And he said, it's not my time. He dematerialized. A mob, who knows, 150 people completely surrounding him. Who knows, they might have tied ropes. They were going to take him up to the cliff and throw him over the cliff, right, to kill him. Bible said he passed through the midst of them because he was the Son of God. He had the power. Do you understand? He engineered the time of his death. No man taketh my life. And so Psalms 8:5, in the book of Hebrews, we find that Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, explains who that really applies to. For he, the Son, was made a little lower than the angels for the purpose of suffering death, so that we now do not have to die a physical death. The Bible says that this is going to be a change. If you have already died, how can you die again? If you have been buried with him in baptism, that means you have already died by the faith. Now, if you just go in the water like you're taking a shower, it has no effect. But if you go in there with faith in his name, that I'm associating my death with his death, the Bible says you shall rise to walk in newness of life. That means God is looking at you as if you are already a perfect creature. So, getting back to the lesson then, God had to take this body down even to a lower thing. It was no longer living hundreds of years. The Bible says, if by reason of strength, fourscore. Now, I've said this before, from where I'm sitting, the 60 isn't that far. If it was a fixed thing, if it was just the natural thing, I'd probably only have, 11 years left? I'm not worried about it, though. To be absent from the body is to be. You see, I cannot die again. I've already died. Do you understand that? If you have been buried with him in the likeness of his death, then this body has already died. You are already a new creature in Christ. All we're waiting for now is for this outside, the redemption of the body, the new body. You see, so let's look over this now. Let's just look over this. So the truth is, when we are born sons of men and are no longer just a little lower now, we're way lower than the angels. That's why when you're a new creature in Christ, he says, Paul says, don't you know that you're going to judge angels? When we have returned back to full sonship, we are right up there. We are joint heirs. We are back into the image that God created us to be. Do you understand that? You know, one of our mission statements is sonship. And that's one of the things for years I've been teaching, learning to walk in sonship. That now are we the sons of God. The only thing left is it doth not yet appear, this outside shell, what we shall be. Whatever age Jesus comes back as, that's what I'm going to be. And at this point, it'd be 30 years younger than I am. I could leap tall buildings and run 9 miles a day and play racquetball for 2 hours and still be up and at 'em. But it's going to be more than just a natural body. It says it is sown, and I'm going ahead of my lesson. Let's wait till we get there. So Adam started out right at the top, which was a son of Adam, which was the son of God. But then he lost his spirit covering and became subject to death, was made lower for the purpose of suffering death, because God's plan was, you know, this body is no longer under his control. We got to get him a new one. But even the hundreds of years that they lived, although it wasn't immortal, it created so many problems. So God had to take him down lower. So he lost long life, and the body became subject to early death. And of course, today now we're subject to diseases, deterioration, wear of our organs. You know, when an old person dies, they don't really say, they just say, you know, and Mr. So-and in the obituary was 86 years old and he died. They don't even try and give an explanation. But there actually is a reason why that person died. Maybe it was liver failure or heart attack, but there is a reason. But at that age, you know, it's not surprising. They're in their 80s. You expect it, right? So we are subject to decay. That's what Romans tells us, that the whole creation now groans and travails in pain, waiting. Waiting for the manifestation, the revelation, the redemption, the last part of the puzzle, the new body, the new creation. God didn't want to do this, but he had no choice. He said he did not do it willingly, but he had no choice so as to let the fruition of his total plan come about. So first we became subject to death and lost our spirit covering, the image of God. God told him that would happen. Then we became subject to bondage of decay and shortening of even the fleshly life. And at that point, it was 120 years. But did you know that life expectancy at the turn of the century here was 50 years? All of us above 50, we'd all probably already be dead. Think about that. A few of you laughing. The life expectancy at the turn of this century was 45, 50 years. Now I've met some people who are living to see their great grandchild. If the Lord don't come, I'm hoping to do that too. They can see their great grandchild. And as I said, it wasn't just Adam that was made lower. To fix the problem, Jesus himself had to come, the second Son of God, and was made lower too. And here is the scripture that proves what I was saying in Psalms, or what David the psalmist said, thou shalt put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But right now, we don't see us ruling and reigning. We can't see it yet. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. And now the explanation of Psalms 8 verse 5 is revealed in Hebrews. Why was man, the Son of God, made lower? The second son was also made lower for the suffering of death. But that's not where the story ends, as the song goes. Because on the third day, he rose again. Now we see him crowned with glory. Back to where he was. Back to where Adam was. Back to where we're going to be. Because the Bible says when we shall see him, we're going to have the glory that is going to be revealed. We're going to be back to sonship. Covered with God's glory. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now if he tasted death for me, you know what that means? I don't have to taste it. I am not going to die. This body is going to turn to dust, but the me is not going to die because I've already died. All of you who have been baptized in his name, raise your hand. You have already died. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, you have something that the billionaires, the doctors at the Mayo Clinic, the greatest scientists can't do. You have eternal life. You have the promise from the Son and the Father and the Holy Spirit, which is one. And Paul knew it. He said, to be absent from this old rickety body is to be present. He says, you know what? I've seen what heaven is like. It was such an experience, I couldn't explain it. He says, I don't even know if I was in the body or what. About 14 years ago, there was a man that was caught up into the third heaven. And he saw stuff that it's not, you can't even put it into words. And that vision, I believe, carried Paul the rest of his life. He was just, you know, I would like to go. He said, I'd like to go. But for your sake, I'm here. If we caught a glimpse of heaven, even just for 5 seconds, nothing that you're going through right now would mean anything. When you see what God has got prepared, you would swap whatever you got now. It would mean nothing. See, we're going to be crowned. There are 5 crowns mentioned in the New Testament. Here's one of them, crown of glory. Amen. A crown of glory. But you see, we're still going to have to wait. Man was forced out of the garden, so he did not have access to the tree of life. So it's God's plan for this old body to die. As I told you before, I knew my parents were going to die because they pretty much decided when they were going to die. They made it plain they wanted to. My mother made it plain she wanted to go. She did not want extra stuff. She didn't want stuff hooked up into her. She wanted to go. And as much as I didn't want them to go, it was better for them to go. Now I want to show you something about the redemption of the body. John 6:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth. That means makes alive. This flesh is truly worth nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. But it's the words that I speak. This is Jesus. Unto you. They are spirit and they are life. Bible doesn't tell us in Genesis what the words were. But it said God breathed. He may have said, come to life. I don't know what he said. We know that Jesus duplicated that in John 17. The Bible said he breathed. And what did he say? Receive ye the Spirit. Probably that's what God said in Genesis. He breathed on that form that he had made and covered it with a life-giving spirit. It is the spirit that makes alive. We're talking about the new creation, the redemption, the final part of the puzzle. All of you who have been baptized, this body has been dead. It's been dead. The Bible says, reckon yourself dead. Dead. But to get the new body, it's the spirit that is going to make alive. John 6:63, the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I'm going to give you some scriptures that I'm going to put together here. Luke 8:11. And I gave you this scripture before. It says, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. We're going to do some connecting the dots here. Right? The words that I speak to you, they are life. The seed is the word. You following me? Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed, the word of God, should come. The word that I speak unto you, it's spirit. And it's life. I want to give you a couple more scriptures before I try and put this together. This all has to do with some of the Bible studies we've been teaching. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Remember what I said Adam and Eve were covered with? The glory. I think it's no coincidence that Hebrew for skin and Hebrew for light is said the same way, or. Now John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. I'm putting some little dots here. I'm going to start putting it together. So the word is God. John chapter 1 verse 1, right? No disputing that. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word is life. We just read that in John chapter 6, 63. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. The word was made flesh. John chapter 1, 14. The word was made flesh. The word is Jesus. He was in the world. The world was made by him. The world did not know him. So the word is God. The word is life. The word made flesh. The word is Jesus. The Son has life in himself. We just read that. The light of men. Jesus proved that, right? The Bible said after 6 days, he went up into a mountain and was transfigured before them. They saw what a Son of God looks like in an unveiled body. He is the light of men. The word is the seed, Luke 8:11. Let's go back to the garden. The tree is life. When you put this all together, you're going to see something. Now, this is the part that my dad expounded to my brother, which he called me up this week and he said he'd been listening to the teachings and he told me, this is what dad said, and I thought, wow. Do you remember something about Moses? When he went up the mountain? And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. He called him up. After 3 days, they had been 46 days getting from Egypt to Sinai, and they camped there 3 days. On the 50th day, Pentecost, a trumpet sounded and a voice sounded, and Moses went up the mountain. And he was there 40 days in the very presence of God. Right? Remember all those scriptures. Remember all those scriptures. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread or drink water. Of course, that's a fulfillment because Jesus said, man shall not live but by bread alone. But by what? Thy word is life. Psalms 27. Anyone remember that? The Lord is my life and my salvation. Amen. Whom shall I fear? Moses was technically back in the garden. But he still had this corrupted body. So when he came down, look at this. And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tables. When he came down from the mount, that Moses didn't realize that his skin and his face shone. He had picked up the reflected glory of God. But it couldn't really change because it was this body. But here's what it did. Here's what just being in the presence of the life and the light and the word and the seed for 40 days did. You may not have realized it, and it didn't hit me until my brother told me this is what my dad told him. When it was time for Moses to die, and here's the revelation, he was not going to die. God had to, if you want to say, kill him. You know why? Because he had been, in essence, at the tree of life. Look what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up unto this mount, Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people. Meaning, I'm going to have to put you to sleep, Moses. Because if I don't, you know what's going to happen? He was going to live forever. Now, that's heavy, but let me show you. The scripture proves it. And Moses was 120 years old, and when he died, there was nothing wrong with him. Because he had been in the presence of the word, which is life. The light, which is life. The seed, which is the word. The tree, which is life. That's why Moses was an unusual case. The Bible says there was not another prophet that knew God face to face. His eye was not dim. What I'm trying to tell you is he would not have died. God had to actually put him to sleep because he was in the presence of the word, of the tree, of the seed, of everything. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? This is what the new body is going to be. But instead of being a corrupt, God had to put him to sleep because that was not God's plan for Moses. Not in that body. But I'm showing you the power. The Bible says in him was life. And that life was what? The light of... When Moses came down, the power was still so great. People were scared of him. He had to put on a veil. Jesus, when he came down, had to put on a veil. Because when he took him up the mountain, the Bible says they were scared. When he was transfigured and the glory, the power, the light, the life, the seed, the word, the tree was revealed. Now, this isn't mine. That's my dad. So he's still giving revelation.
Was maybe years ago when I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I remember you telling me you were like they found the chariots that were in the Red Sea, and you were saying how they were looking for signs and wonders, you know, and they found them, and they were like, how did this happen? How did these chariots get in the Red Sea? Well, of course, because Moses parted the sea, but they were still looking for his body. And I remember you were telling me this as a little kid. You were like, they'll never find his body because the Lord took it, and that has some, but. I remember what you were really telling me was that they found what was important, you know?
Amen.
That's all they needed.
Amen. So what I'm trying to tell you is that Moses would not have died. Look at it carefully, the Bible says.
What about Adam? Because he was a son of God in the presence of God. He walked with God, but he died.
That's because he was outside the presence of God. That's the very reason why he died, because he was no longer in the garden. Moses spent 40 days, the Bible says, face to face. The Bible says there was not another prophet such as Moses who God related to face to face. And in him, that is God, there is life.
Be the difference between Enoch and Moses' death?
Very good question. The Bible says, why was Enoch taken? He was in the presence of God. In him is life. He was in the presence of God. The Bible says he walked with God and was not. For God took him. What I'm telling you is when you walk with God, you are passed from death unto life. You've already died. You've already died. I hope that answered your question. The key was he walked with God. Two cannot walk together unless. When you're one with God, how can you die? He can't die. He's God. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. Enoch walked with God. God can't die. Therefore, Enoch can't die. We are not going to die. That's right. He says, I'm going to be one with my spirit. That's why we won't die. We will be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. See, we read the scripture and it passes us by. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim. He didn't need cataract surgery. Nor his none of his organs were misfunctioning. That's why God had to take him. Because he had been in the presence of life. In him is life, the light of men. That's why when he came down, his face shone. Something physical had happened to his body. His face could not shine unless a transformation had happened. But God did not, even with that, that body was still a sinful body. It was not the body that shall be. The glory was reflected, not from inside. When we get the glory, it's going to be the glory that is revealed in us. In us. So God had to actually put Moses to sleep. Because other than that, he could not come back in a glorified body. Amen.
Is that why, like, there's supposed to be two people with Jesus and Elijah and then another one? Is that why?
Let me explain. There's quite a bit of symbolism in that. One of them never died. One of them was put to death. This very first scripture I read, it says, those that are alive and remain. That's the Elijah group. We shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. Elijah represents those who are alive at his coming. Moses represents those who died. The Bible in Hebrews says, these all died in faith, not receiving the promise until a better thing. God couldn't make him immortal then because the sacrifice had not been made. He could not die with Jesus because Jesus had not died. So the body, in this case, had to die. But now, although this body has to die, I've already died. You've already died. So you are set apart. You're God's people. He has placed his name upon you. Now are we the sons of God. The only other part is it doesn't yet appear at my transfiguration what I shall be. Amen? God had to put Moses to sleep. That's the whole point. Because he had picked up so much transformation. In other words, he had literally been at the tree of life. So the word is God, the word is life, the word made flesh, the word is Jesus, the Son has life in himself, the word is the seed. And now here's what he says. As thou hast given him, the Son, the seed, the word, power over all flesh, we're talking about a new creation, a new body, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In John 17, if you read it, Jesus is praying. And it must be the Spirit that revealed to John what he prayed. He said, all that you have given me, I have kept, save the son of perdition. When you give this body to Jesus, he will keep it. None can pluck it out of his hand. That's why you can rest. If we could get in that, let this same mind be in you that was in what? Christ Jesus. If we got the mind of Christ totally the way we ought to, we would be at rest. That doesn't mean we wouldn't feel things in this body, because physically this body is still alive. But by faith, it was buried. And all my sins, past, present, and future too. It's dead. As I said before, don't be a grave robber. Don't go digging it up. The Son has the power to give eternal life. Moses had to die because the Son had not come yet. The sun had not come, and so God had to put him to sleep. He only had the outside reflected, the body life. But we are going to get a new body. The Bible says that we are ears and joint ears. Here's what Jesus came to do, and I'm going to try and hurry up. I have manifested. It doesn't mean he said, my name is J-E-S-U-S. He was showing sonship. He showed them what a son of God is really like. The Bible says his raiment became white as snow. They couldn't look at him. He was showing what we are to become. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept the word. The word is life. The word is life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Simon got the revelation by the Holy Spirit. Thou art the Christ, the anointed, the Son of the living God. Here's some scriptures for you, and I'm trying to hurry. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. See, those who have gone ahead, Moses, who God had to let the body die, their soul went to the place, the holding place, until Jesus came. But it was prophesied, for he shall receive me. Jesus led captivity captive when he came. The Bible said he put Satan to an open shame. Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, Moses, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we're not servants anymore, but sons. Satan has to obey when you submit to God, because you are in the authority of sonship. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Some iniquity, some of my sins, some of my faults, all of my faults. Do you understand that although we're still in this body, the closer we get to the Lord then, the more we're going to glow. The more we have life, the more we are closer to the Lord, the more we'll be like Moses until the full redemption of the body. Because there's coming a day, as I read in the very first scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown, this old body is sown in corruption. When you die, there will be a reason if you die. It won't be like Moses. No reason, just God had to put him. There will be a reason written on your certificate. Heart failure, liver disease, pancreatic cancer. There will be a reason. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. We fail God every day. Because we don't have total control. But it will be raised in power. It is sown a natural body, subject to all the things and issues. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, but there's going to be a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. He was made a man. He was subject and made lower so that he could die. The last Adam, son of God, was made a life-giving spirit. A life-giving spirit. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy. Whatever you're going through, it's not worth anything. Catch a vision of heaven. Catch a vision of sonship. Catch a vision of what God has planned for your life. That this is not life. This is the birth process. We haven't actually experienced life. Not really. True life will be to come. That's why it describes it as the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. What does that tell you about it? Someone's going to have a baby soon. I hope it won't be too much groaning and travailing. But the whole creation groan because we're waiting for the redemption, the true life which is in Christ, which is to be revealed, which is to come. We're waiting for the earnest expectation of the creature, waiteth for the manifestation of all the other sons that Jesus came to make. For the creature, and this is the whole verse now, was made subject to that, to decay and death and all the other things. You ever looked at, well, most of you are young, but maybe one Sunday we'll bring in our young pictures. We met someone yesterday at the church in Benton Harbor, which I hadn't seen for maybe 10 years. And honestly, she hadn't changed, I don't think. Maybe she had, but I couldn't tell. Maybe if she brought her picture and I looked closely, okay, maybe you have a few more crow's feet here. But look at this. The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the bondage of decay, the bondage of sin, the bondage of depression, the bondage of sickness, into the glorious liberty of the fulfillment of the promise of a completely new creation. So for right now, the whole creation groaneth. Just look at the newspapers, look at the television. If that's not groaning and sorrow and death and destruction, imagine how God must feel when he looks at what is now and what there was when he first created this place. It says the whole creation. I believe God also is looking and groaning. But he has a plan. If you will die now, you won't have to die again. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. If you could stand with me. And not only they. It's not only the world that groans. Paul was speaking about even himself is groaning, because he still didn't have yet that Son of God outer body. But ourselves also. If you're not groaning, then you're in a happy place. Which have the first, he says, even us who we already have the deposit on the house. We haven't got the house yet. The earnest. Even us who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. I did a lot of groaning this week. Waiting. First scripture I read said that we have to wait till our change come. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's the third part of this that makes us a complete new creation in Christ. You know why? Because we were not created in vain. For thus saith the Lord God that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. There's going to be a remnant. There's going to be some people who endure to the end. I am the Lord and there is none else. Besides me, there is no Savior. To those of you who have not died in the watery grave, I encourage you to think about it. Because you are going to die, but you can choose. God chose when Moses was going to die, so that he too could be on that Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah even is going to die. The two witnesses in Revelation. Because Hebrews says it's appointed unto men once to die. Then comes the judgment. God created you not in vain. He has a plan. He has a purpose for you. If you will get in the presence of the King, maybe you don't even have to do 40 days. You can have a spiritual glow, a peace with God that passes human understanding. Because with him, there is no variableness or turning. When we start to walk with God, in him is life, and that life is the light of men. If I'm walking with God and two cannot walk unless they agree, I can't die. So examine who you are walking with. Because if it's not God, then you are subject to death. But if you're walking with the one who has the light and the life and the power and the word and the seed, You are passed from death unto life. I'm going to close. I'm trying to close. All things are passed away. All things are made new. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we just